Jeremy Clarkson did that classic thing of, you know, like thinking this could be something. Remember we did one rehearsal before we went on Britain's Got Talent in the audition room, and I just got like a rush of goosebumps. And so I don't have brothers and sisters, but it's literally like having 35 brothers and sisters. Building a strong routine will lead to finding a purpose. At the moment it's dry, it hasn't rained for 3, maybe even 4 weeks. It felt like more of a moment for farming, like British farming.
This episode has been supported by TELUS Agriculture and Consumer Goods. Thousands of UK growers trust TELUS to help them connect their data and manage every part of their business with confidence. Huge thanks to them for their support of the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 338 of Meet the Farmers. I'm your host, Ben Eagle, and today I'm really excited to be joined by Cambridgeshire farmer Ben Brook, who you may also recognise as a member of the Hoxton Farmers Choir that got that all-important golden buzzer in Britain's Got Talent a few weeks ago. Ben, welcome to Meet the Farmers. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me. Can't wait.
But before we talk about farming, let's talk about Britain's Got Talent and your journey with the choir. So first of all, bring us fully up to date with what's happening for the choir. So just caveat this for listeners, we're recording this on the 21st of April and won't be out for the next week or so, but give us an update.
So obviously we got the golden buzzer, which was amazing. We've just come back from 3 days of rehearsals, singing a different song to obviously what we sung in the auditions. Obviously I'm not allowed to tell you what we're singing, but it is pretty good. it's just been a wild experience. We were put together near enough a year to the day for Jeremy Clarkson's beer adverts. There was an advert that my business partner's wife sent to me, and you had to be within agriculture and be able to sing to apply for it. So yeah, I talked about my ties to agriculture to my wife. And then as soon as I had to sing, I just sent her upstairs because I've never sung in front of anybody. And the first time I actually sung in front of anybody by myself was on national news the other day.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I thought you did really well. It's because that is, for anyone as well. Even if you've been singing for your entire life, I think that must be to sing on national news. That's a big ask.
Yeah, I've had good feedback, to be fair, which is good. But yeah, they turned up. They messaged me a joke about singing, and I said, I'm not singing on TV. And then they turned up, and then I was like, no, seriously, I'm actually not singing. And they were just like, we'll see about that. And then at the end, I was like, why not?
So, I mean, the choir's been going about a year, so I mean, it's amazing how far you've come in that time. Did you know any of the other farmers before you joined?
No, none of them. So I've met one of them before, but I didn't recognise him, and he recognised me. We met at one of my friends' 21st, so we've got a friend in common, basically. Okay. I speak to him every day. Like, I speak to a lot of people in the choir every day, which is quite nice, because obviously we're trying to promote something bigger than that within mental health and, you know, how farming can be so isolating. So the fact that we talk all the time and are all genuine friends is... it's amazing. It's actually life changing for all of us. It's been really cool.
Yeah, and actually, when you go through anything like this, don't you? When you share that kind of experiment, this is quite an experience. But when you share something together, it does bring you really close, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. It's like, I don't have brothers and sisters, but it's literally like having 35 brothers and sisters that you can call upon anyone whenever you need them. And we all work well as a team. And there's just like no negative energy, which I think in the modern age is quite rare. Like, there's always someone that's like slightly jealous of someone, or do you know what I mean? There's always something slightly off. But in that group, it's like, it's magical, which just sounds a bit cringe, but it is. It's like, it's magical. We're all on the same page. We're all fighting for something bigger, and we're all just representing British agriculture. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, when it came to applying for the show, did you all decide as a group, as a choir, to apply, or were you just told this is happening?
We got asked in the group, but I don't think we really realised that we were any good. So obviously the adverts, there was 10 people that got picked to do the actual recordings, like pretty much like professional singers, but they are farmers as well. And then the rest of us applied to be extras. So we turned up, but then we all started singing. I think the whole the whole idea behind it was for us to mime and then for the recording to be played. Yeah. And then we all started singing and the look on people's faces were like, oh my God, they're actually really good. Yeah, yeah. And Jeremy Clarkson did that classic thing of, you know, like thinking this could be something. I remember the moment. And then, yeah, like here we are. It's been wild. We've had to do like multiple different things. And when the adverts were launched, there was a small number of us that had to go and sing live. And, you know, the amount of people that have said to us, like, we think this is going to be something bigger. Like, you should go on Britain's Got Talent. Like, loads of people are saying all this stuff. But when you're in it, you don't see it. And the only time I saw it is, I remember we did one rehearsal before we went on Britain's Got Talent in the audition room, or the audition room, in your little holding area.
Okay.
And at the end of the performance, you like put your head up because you're supposed to project to the back of the auditorium. And I just got like a rush of goosebumps. And I was like, oh, that was actually really good. Because I didn't know if we'd get through, to be honest. Okay. I thought we were going to get like, you know, a couple of red X's or, do you know what I mean? I just didn't know what to expect. And then, yeah, when we went on stage, it was so good. Yeah. I loved it.
I mean, for anyone, which to be honest, I'm guessing is most people listening, who hasn't auditioned for Britain's Got Talent, just take us through the process and what's involved.
There's a lot of waiting around, to be honest. Yeah, you have to wait in a little room. I think you see it on the TV with all those lights, and there's other acts in there, and you have like a morning session, evening session, and yeah. We were in the afternoon session. So yeah, I got there super early in the morning. And yeah, you just get taken on stage. And they kind of just like kick you on stage and they're like, go on. And then you're just there. So you like, you know where you're standing and stuff. And yeah, all the cameras are where they're supposed to be facing. But yeah, you just get out there, sing, see how you get on. And yeah, Amanda pressed the golden buzzer, which is wild because I didn't actually realize she pressed it. You're told to project to the back of the auditorium. So I was looking up at the end of the song. And then like I heard like screaming around me. Like, obviously all the crowd were like standing up and going mental. But yeah. I was like looking up. I was like, oh God, they're loving this. And then looked round and all the choir were jumping around. And I was like, why are we all jumping around? Like, we don't know if we've got through. Looked down, it was all gold. And I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it was yeah, once in a lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds cliche, doesn't it? But I mean, it was an amazing moment for the choir. But I mean, it was also an amazing moment for the farming community generally.
100%. I said this the other day, like it felt like more of a moment for farming, like British farming. Like we've had it so tough. Like, I'm like, obviously we've got the best job and I don't want to like moan about how hard farming can be, but it can be quite tough. Like, you know, yeah. we're reliant on weather. Like a lot of people have animals. Like it's not an easy profession. And for the agricultural community to come together and, you know, just be there for each other meant the world to us, but also meant the world to so many people. I've had so many messages from people that you wouldn't think would be emotional, saying that they were tearing up. I've just had so many messages that have just been, yeah, unbelievable. And I'm just glad that we can do something for the agriculture community.
We are behind you all the way.
Thank you very much. You've got a vote in the semi-finals.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think there'll be lots of farmers who will be. How far do you think you can go? That's probably a bit of a mean question.
Yeah, I don't think we see how good we are. But when I was performing, when we were doing rehearsals, it sounded pretty good, to be honest. I think a lot of us are a lot more confident. Like me, for example, I was not confident singing at all. And it is a massive confidence thing, especially when you have to go slightly higher. Like I sing bass, so obviously I'm quite low, but there are certain times where it's basically just like throwing yourself off a cliff and seeing what happens. But if you're not like a trained singer, it's quite intimidating. And then if you're singing with loads of people that can actually sing, if we've got a lot of Welsh people in the choir that are like amazing singers. And, you know, I've got quite a loud voice. So if you just like throw yourself off the cliff and then, you know, go slightly higher or like slightly muck up, you can be heard.
Yeah.
But
it's always
safety
in numbers.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I don't know. I'd like to think we can get to the final. But again, for us, it's about something bigger. It's about, you know, creating a community within agriculture, provoking conversations around mental health. And yeah, just doing something good for us and our country.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, like I say, we are behind you all the way. And really looking forward to your next performance. I can't wait to see what you're actually singing as well. Let's talk about the farm. And you are in the Fens, which a lot of farmers out there are going to have soil envy straight away. Tell us a little bit about where you are, first of all.
So we are in March, Cambridgeshire. So we've got farms around there. We farm wheat, sugar beet, peas, beans, mustard peas and beans, obviously break crops. But yeah, we grow milling wheat. We used to grow a lot of potatoes. We don't do that anymore. Okay. We've got variable soils. We've got silt. We've got bit of skirt. We've got, you know, everything.
Yep.
I have been in and around the farm since I was 8. I used to potato grade after school and stuff like that, which wasn't very fun. Especially when you had no earpieces. I remember trying to take my Discman to potato grade, which just didn't work. But yeah, so I've been in and around the farm. I mean, to be honest, it's all I've ever actually wanted to do is be a farmer. But my mum was a fashion designer, so she obviously has pushed me into more of a creative career. So I went to university. I've been working on the farm since, you know, that age, and I'd be doing harvest every year. But then I went to university to study interactive media design, which is learning how to make apps and websites and stuff like that.
Right.
Actually did like a foraging app at university, which is quite cool. And yeah, then went to London, started working as a designer, then kind of realized that they were charging quite a lot for websites, and I thought I could probably do that myself. So did that, and then started commissioning out my designer and developer friends to do the work for me, because I bought on quite a lot of clients.
Okay.
And then ended up working in recruitment, because I've been trying to like push myself into more of like a sales position, because
interesting,
I don't know, like in like a from like a business perspective, I think, you know, it's very easy to be comfortable. I'd quite like to be like a rounded businessman and work on stuff that I was bad at. And going into recruitment and doing sales and being on the phone in front of people was something that I was absolutely petrified of. And then, yeah, here we are like 5 years later, still running my recruitment company. But yeah, came back to the farm fully when I was 33, I want to say. Okay. I always said to my dad I'd come back when I was 35, but came back a bit earlier, which is good.
It strikes me from what you just said, actually, and that, and with the choir as well, I suppose, that are you someone who likes to push yourself out of your comfort zone?
I'm the kind of person that, and I think a lot of people should be like this. I say yes to quite a lot of things,
yeah,
like within reason, obviously. But if you don't say yes to stuff, you're never gonna get anything. I always find, like, if you're scared of something, the amount that you're scared is the amount that you grow afterwards. And I think that's a really important thing. Obviously, it's super hard to push yourself out of your comfort zone, but just go for it. I have one good thing to make you push yourself out of your comfort zone is since 2022, I have had cold showers in the morning. So I have like a warm shower, and then I'll just turn it cold for 2 minutes at the end. And it doesn't get any better, but you have the same like endorphin being released, like you've just gone to the gym. Because it's like pushing yourself, like psychologically, it's like pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, doing something you don't want to do every morning. And then you're kind of like subconsciously in your head, you're just like, oh, I could do that.
Yeah. That for, I think, probably about 8 to 18 months. I was coming out of a real low in my life around about sort of 2017, 2018. And that was part, the cold shower thing was one thing I made myself do. Why I stopped, I think it was probably when I started feeling better again. And I was like sort of, maybe I should stop doing that. Maybe this is going to be the push I need to carry to start again.
Yeah, it's good. I used to bang on about it to people when I first started doing it, literally to everybody. And they were like, oh, shut up. We're not doing cold shower. Now loads of people are doing it. I'm just like, I told you.
It's the thing.
It is good. But then my last house, my shower wasn't cold enough, which is quite annoying. So yeah, I had to go to the gym and cold shower there instead, which still wasn't cold enough. Did get a nice bath at one point.
Yeah, barely anyone has ever said that ever, I think, that line. Yeah, my shower is not cold enough. Meet the Farmers is all about the people behind our food and the reality of what it takes to keep a farm running for generations. Farming is hard enough without juggling multiple systems, spreadsheets and paperwork. That's where TELUS Agriculture and Consumer Goods comes in. They bring everything together, crop management, farm accounting, payroll and IT, into one joined up setup built specifically for UK farms. That means clearer visibility across your farm, records that stay audit ready, and more time in the field so you can focus on what really matters. Backed by decades of UK expertise and a local team that understands the realities of modern farming and the pressures you face. Get the full story on their Smarter Farm solutions at telus.com/farmsmarter. Let's go back to the business and just tell us about sort of how it is, how it's changed over time. Both perhaps you've already mentioned potatoes in terms of what you're growing, but also who's been on the farm, how it's worked, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I'm fourth generation. So on the farm that we're on at the moment, my great granddad, is sadly passed in January, and my dad and my uncle's done some stuff as well, and now there's me. We used to employ loads of people, and obviously when you're growing potatoes, you have like seasonal staff. Yeah. Now we have not that many people that work for us at all. We have maybe two full time. Obviously me, my dad, and then we have some like part-time labor that we get in as we need it. But yeah, it's just changed. Farming in general's changed. It's not as profitable as it used to be. And, you know, attention to detail is everything. Putting the effort into the crops, you know, is a given now. Whereas before you probably could get away with not half-assing it, but, you know, if you made a mistake, the weather would kind of like drag you out of trouble. Whereas at the moment, we're getting such like long, dry periods that like we actually don't know what to do. I did a video yesterday on my Instagram about like raising the water level in the farm, which we don't even know if it does anything, but it's like an old fen tail that it raises the water table, which keeps the moisture in your crops. Don't get me wrong, like I love what I do. And I've always wanted to do it as a hobby rather than an actual business venture. but yeah. It can be quite hard.
Yeah. Biggest challenge on the farm at the moment, would you say?
Weather. I mean, at the moment it's dry. It hasn't rained for 3, maybe even 4 weeks. Obviously, we've just done all of our spring drilling, so everything's chitted. Some stuff hasn't chitted. So the stuff that's chitted, if we don't get rain in the next couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks, then I don't know what we're going to do. We're like thinking about potentially irrigating some of the sugar beet, but I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't know. Yeah, but definitely weather for sure. And also, like, the markets are so volatile with everything that's going on in Iran. You've got diesel prices going up, fertilizer costs going up. Luckily, we ordered fertilizer relatively early, so we had quite a lot, so it didn't really affect us too much. But we've gone liquid, which was slightly cheaper as well, on our third dose. But yeah, there's so many things. But there's also so many things that I love about farming, so I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it.
Yeah, I think the key thing on the input side as well, isn't it? It's going to be a lot of farmers are fine at the moment because, like you say, a lot of people pre-bought before all this sort of started. But it's more actually almost the next season that may be the concern as this sort of drags on longer.
I think it's also, so obviously diesel, we keep talking about this straight opening and then closing literally a day later, we get our hopes up and I'm like, oh, thank God we didn't order diesel. And then I was like, oh, maybe we should have ordered diesel. But it's like, I just hope we have enough. So we ordered quite a lot of diesel, maybe like a month ago. And yeah, I'm just hoping that it's enough to get through to harvest. And, you know, because if we run out of fuel, we won't be able to combine the crops, which that would be a complete disaster.
Yeah.
What would we do then? Considering how much it costs to grow these crops, like there's no other business that those inputs are so big. It's wild. Like my recruitment company, like my input costs are nothing really. I pay for LinkedIn, like obviously like my business bank and just like small little things like my website hosting. And then I'm getting like, you know, between 15-20%, sometimes more of people's yearly salaries in one go. So your profit margins are huge, right? In farming, costs probably like 140 quid to grow a ton of wheat. And that's not even including labor costs. That's mental. Like, what other business is like that? And then you have to rely on something that you completely can't control. Wild.
Yeah, it is. And it's odd, isn't it? Because it's like, I mean, this conversation is had again and again and again, isn't it? But, and yet, there's barely a farmer I know who would say, yeah, but I'd rather be doing something else.
Yeah, I think it's like it's a generational thing, though, right? Like, so I don't want to go like too far political and into inheritance tax and stuff like that. But like, I would never sell our land because it's not mine to sell. It's like it's my family's before me. Like, I want to keep it going. I don't want to be the generation that, you know, lets it slide and we have to sell parts of our farm off. On paper, yeah, you might have like quite a lot of money tied up in assets, but that literally means nothing because all we want to do is farm and do best for our family.
Now, you are, and you've already mentioned a little bit, you're a strong advocate for discussing mental health in farming, and this is a big thing behind the choir as well. It's a question I ask fairly regularly on the show, but why is it important, do you think, to keep this topic in the spotlight?
Because not enough people speak about it. So I had anxiety really badly in like my mid-20s, like maybe even a bit before that when I used to do a lot of harvest stuff. Like there's a lot of like isolating times when you're sat there in your own thoughts. And if you don't have people to speak to, then I think it can really build up. And the typical stereotypical farmer doesn't want to speak about that to anybody. Mm. And I don't know if it comes from like a weakness perspective or like just that's how they've been brought up. But we just want to encourage these conversations. Like the statistics in farming around mental health are awful, like really bad. And if we can change even that statistic by one, like we're obviously doing the right thing. Like I had a conversation yesterday with our musical director and he was talking about, I think you guys are changing lives. And then thought about it. And I was sitting with someone in their tractor and I was talking about like what the choir means to me and, you know, like what we're trying to promote and, you know, like what we're trying to achieve. And was talking about mental health to him. He's like, you know, in his 50s, like very old school, like you would never, like just never think that he would be sad. And he was saying to me, yeah, it gets super isolating. It's like, you know, but nobody ever talks about it. Like, and he was quite glad to talk to me about it because no one ever asked him. So we're clearly doing something right.
Yeah, for me, it's absolutely vital that that it is kept in the spotlight. And yeah, I'm just, yeah, again, so grateful for everything that you guys are doing to profile it with the choir.
Thanks.
Future on the farm. Where do you see, obviously, it's a pretty volatile time at the moment and it is difficult to plan. It feels like there's been so much reaction to change, isn't there, in farming over the last few years. But are you able to sort of take a long-term vision sort of approach for the future?
Yeah, but my long-term vision is also doing other things.
Yeah.
So I'm starting up a agriculture clothing company, which is called We Are Agriculture. That is all 10% of our profits will go towards the mental health charity. But we kind of want, like, obviously there's a farmer's uniform at the moment. So we want there to be an option too. I don't particularly like wearing the farmer's uniform. So I want there to be something that I can wear. So yeah, we're doing that. It's obviously taken a lot of time. We started up like 2 years ago. We're on our 4th samples now. But yeah, I've got some exciting meetings coming up and yeah, it's a really good opportunity to start spreading it to the wider community. So that would be one of them. But obviously if we did make money off that, I'd just buy more lambs. and then I've got obviously got my recruitment company. But then I've started up a fitness app with my business partner in America called FuelBridge, which is like a nutrition meal planning app. So it works out how many calories you're supposed to eat based on your height, your weight, and how much exercise you do. So those two things, obviously bubbling on the side. But I banged on about this in other interviews, but I just get up really early to do everything. I have to be on the farm at 7:30. I get up at 4:15 and I'm trying to utilize like my youth to, you know, build something meaningful. So I can just pump it back into the agriculture community.
That's great. is that before you get old and tired?
Yeah, exactly. But we'll never get old because I'm having cold showers.
Oh, exactly. I suppose a bit headspace-wise as well, we talk about mental health, when you're doing, and I find this as well, when you're trying to balance lots of things as well, what tips would you give for when you do have a lot of things going on? There's a lot of farmers in this position as well, lots of, say, farmers who are diversified in particular doing other things. How do you manage to keep your headspace in a good space?
Doing exercise, going to the gym. I could probably be doing more cardio, which I'm doing. I've put myself on a strict 6-week diet, which I'm normally so bad at sticking to. But yeah, I normally just go to the gym in the morning, do weights, get the kind of like aggression / frustration out of my system. But I think like routine and finding your purpose is massive. I remember when I had really bad anxiety, I didn't really feel like I had a purpose. So yeah, like finding your purpose, which, you know, doesn't come straight away. But yeah, sticking to it, working on yourself and just doing all these like fads, like cold showers and like meditating. And I don't want to call them fads, but like, do you know what I mean? There's a lot of things that you can do and they do actually make a difference. There's a guy in the choir who does a lot of breath work, which I've done a couple of times, but I probably need to do more of it. But I remember doing it and feeling really energized. Yeah, I'd say routine, building a strong routine will lead to finding a purpose.
Good tip there, I think. Gosh, this time is flying. We're nearly up to half an hour. So I'm going to start to wrap things up. But I always ask guests the same two questions at the end of the show. And these are quite broad, sort of based on what we've been talking about today. One is a message to the public. But perhaps with the choir in mind as well, it could be a message to the public, but also a message to farmers. What would your message to the public be, first of all?
Message to the public would be, I think, just support British industry as much as you possibly can. Like, buy local as much as you can. Look at what labels are on your food, and try and eat seasonal based on what stuff you can get in England at the time. Obviously, we can't get avocados in this country, and I love avocados, but they're like basic things that, you know, you can actually buy, and they are seasonal. And then the second message would be, just please get behind us, that we're doing it for like a bigger cause. Any support would be greatly appreciated. We are hoping to do Britain proud.
Yes, please vote. I should hope that everyone listening to this podcast is going to vote anyway, way.
Fingers crossed.
There should be a few there.
We'll be doing something wrong if they are.
Exactly. And finally, your message to farmers, your fellow farmers.
I suppose just keep going. Like, don't get too down about the weather and stuff that you can't control. If you're feeling down, talk to someone. There's a lot of stuff and systems in place that accommodate you being able to open up, whether it's the line that Hawkston have just provided, like via Shout, where you can text if you don't want to speak to anyone. But there's a lot of other mental health charities that you can speak to. Don't bottle it up, and don't feel like you can't speak to anybody, because people will be there for you regardless. So yeah, that's probably the message I'd give.
Brilliant. Well, Ben, we'll leave it there. But thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm feeling very inspired this morning after that conversation. that was great. And we're all behind you with the choir. So just absolute best of luck. And look forward to the next performance.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. That is it for today. We'll leave it there. A massive thank you to my guest, Ben Brook, for coming on the show. Thank you also for listening. If you don't already subscribe and you enjoyed this episode, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening or watching. I hope you can join me next time. But for now, I'm Ben Eagle. This has been Meet the Farmers. And thank you very much for listening.